There are seven firsts that we're going to be looking at. We've looked at one last week where we saw that Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. And today we're going to look at the second first. And this is going to be an uncomfortable yet a very important teaching for us to go through. I want to start off by just saying this, that one of the realities of life is that a small character flaw in our life can cause us a lot of pain, can cause us rejection, hurt, bad reputation, and of course avoidance by other believers. Have you noticed wherever you go, people are just walking away from you? You have a small flaw that you need to handle. And the consequences of small character flaws are a lot more than what I've just mentioned. And it can actually take you into serious depression. So let's just see what a small flaw can do, because it really can produce big disasters. On January the 28th, 1986, many of you weren't born yet, a tiny flaw caused a tragic accident. Seven astronauts boarded Space Shuttle Challenger headed for the space station. Suddenly, a flaw in a small rubber ring caused a small leak, which caused a small flame, which led to a massive explosion that destroyed the shuttle and killed all those aboard. Do you get the message that a small flaw can have horrible consequences? It can be a destructive force in your life and can cause you a lot of pain. And it's our responsibility as believers to stay watchful of the character defects in our lives that have the power to undermine our callings. Now, how many of you are perfect? If you're perfect, put your hand up. All right, so we all understand none of us is perfect, right? As long as we just keep that in mind, we'll do good. Okay, so this brings us to the passage of Scripture in which Jesus speaks about the first. Matthew 7, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This passage raises a question or two, but one of the questions I want to deal with is, are we never to judge? Is that what Jesus is saying? You're never to judge. Well, not so. I want to settle this fast and clear. Jesus never said that we are not to judge. Never. So we need to figure out then, how must we carry our judgment if we judge? So in John's Gospel, we find Jesus telling us that we are to judge righteously. John 7:24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Have you ever made the mistake where you've met somebody and they just weren't dressed properly? They didn't sound educated. They didn't look good. and then you discovered that the impression you had in your mind was totally incorrect. It has happened to all of us many times. I remember meeting a guy, and this was at a church meeting, and just looking at him, I was wondering, what is he doing here? I found out afterwards that he was the main speaker. He was the professor. that blew my bubble for me, eh? So yeah, we have to be very careful. Righteous judgment is what Jesus leads to. Now, writing to the Corinthian church, Paul gives them this instruction. In 1 Corinthians 5:11, I meant that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer. Now listen to this, listen. You are not to associate. You know what associate means? Get together with, have fellowship with, okay? With anyone who claims to be a believer yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or worships idols, or is abusive, or is a drunkard, or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people. Oops. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but as the scripture says, you must remove the evil person from among you. That's a strong scripture, isn't it? I suppose that sound I hear in my ear of people tearing that out of their Bibles, because they never want to see that again. There's a lot of stuff in scripture that we do not obey. And one day, I just want to tell you, one day we're going to answer to the Lord and he's going to say, you know, I told you this, I told you that, I told you that. How come you never did what I told you? Because we are going to give an account. You do realize that. Well, just so that you do realize it, turn to somebody and say, you will give an account one day. Paul the Apostle tells us in matters pertaining to the church that we are to judge because we're going to be expected to judge angels. You do know that we are higher than angels. I know there's still some believers who think angels are higher than us. We are God's children, his family. Angels aren't. The blood of Jesus Christ has brought us into a special relationship with the Father. And so the hierarchy is God, us, angels. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 6:2. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? And so really we just need to understand judging is part of life. It's how we judge that is the issue. If it's not fair and all the rest of it. So I want to just touch on the danger of judging. Because there is a danger. In Matthew 7:2 it says, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. I just want to share a funny one with you. I've so often heard people say, you know, Alan is unapproachable. But they've never approached me. And so they avoid me. And because they avoid me, I say, well, okay, you don't want me to mess with your life, so I avoid them. The judgment they made has put them under judgment. Do you understand that? Be very careful about telling other people that so-and-so is unapproachable. First, check it out, because it has to be a righteous judgment. Tell somebody that was a good point. Now, this is a loaded verse. Really it is. And it's called the law of equal weights. The same measure we use in judgment will be used to measure and judge us. And you know what's even scarier is the fact that the Lord Jesus will apply that judgment. So if we judge somebody, and let's just say I judge Roy, he's a very great friend of mine, but I judge him as, he's just an old man. Don't give me that look. The Lord Jesus will take that same judgment and put it onto me. So the judgment you use is the judgment you are going to receive. And we need to understand that relationships in the kingdom are crucial for God's church to accomplish its mission. If we spend our time judging one another, we're never going to get on with the goal of reaching the lost. And any infighting and relationship-destroying behavior is detrimental to our sharing the gospel of the kingdom with non-believers. I mean, can you imagine the non-believer comes in here and there's a group of Christians having a fight? Or they're skinnering, gossiping, saying bad things about other people. Or that unbeliever walks out and says, I don't want to be part of that. So we have to be very careful. And Jesus is dealing with the judgmental attitude and critical spirit that exists within the church that he's the head of. And he doesn't want critical spirit and judgmentalism in his family. And so serious is the effect of criticism and judgmentalism within the church that Jesus pulls no punches. They will be judged in the same way they judge others. We will be judged in the same way we judge others. So if you're sitting here today and you happen to have judged somebody, I would suggest you clear it with the Lord as quick as you can so that you escape judgment. The bottom line is that judging always comes back to haunt you. Now, we to avoid having a judgmental and critical spirit because our calling is rather to restore, not criticize. Now, sometimes when you're trying to restore somebody, you got to be real upfront with them. As long as you're careful, because they are created in the image of God. We're meant to be compassionate, not overcritical. We need to pull people up, not push them down. And we need to speak words of kindness and love, not negative and destructive words. Why? Bottom line is, that's how we want God to treat us. The same measure we use, God will use back on us. Now, he doesn't like doing that, but he will do that because it's the rule of the kingdom. You judge, you'll be judged. So let's move on to wearing of a mask. And none of you wear masks, right? I mean, looking around here, your faces all look like normal faces. I don't see masks, which is a good thing. In verse 5 of Matthew chapter 7, we read this. Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. If you have a critical spirit, you will very much pick up the shortcomings of others. And you'll speak about it to everyone you can. Oh, you know so-and-so. Yeah, this is what I found out about them. Oh, you know so-and-so. This is what they are. This is what they've done. And some people are just permanent gossipers. I think that's part of what makes Facebook so attractive to some people, is because they get the latest gossip. Now, the log in Greek is dokos, and it's a beam of timber. Like this one over there. You know, it's a big beam of timber. Big stick, round log. Carphos is a small dry twig. So Jesus is saying, listen, you are critical and judgmental. You've got this beam in your eye, and you're trying to get a little twig out of your brother's eye. I remember when I was a little guy in, what was it then, grade 3 back then, whatever it is today. And I remember one of the girls in the class did something stupid, and I pointed my finger and I said, "Yeah, you stupid!" And she started laughing. And I thought, what are you laughing at? And then she told me, she said, "Ha, you're pointing one finger at me, but you got 3 fingers pointing at yourself. You stupid!" I'll never forget that. Finger pointing is dangerous because you need to check out those 3 fingers pointing at yourself, and you need to first check your heart out to make sure this is righteous judgment you're using. In Nelson's dictionary, we find hypocrisy is pretending to be what one is not. The charismatic movement has been so full of Christians who are hypocrites, pretending to be what one is not. I can't tell you how many times I'd say to somebody, I've heard something that they've gone through, the house collapsed, somebody stole the car, the husband run off with another woman, the kids all in hospital. And so this lady comes to church, and I say, "How are you?" "Oh, I'm blessed!" You know, and then I just look at her and say, "What? Something's wrong." And how many of you hide behind the same cliches? How many are you afraid to let others know that your life is actually falling apart and you can't handle it? You don't know what to do about the future, but you're too silly to ask questions or get help. The New Testament meaning of hypocrisy and hypocrite is reflected in Greek drama. I don't know if any of you have been to any Greek dramas where they wear masks. The Greek word for hypocrisy is the word hypokrisis. And what it means is a hypocrite was one who wore a mask and played a part on the stage, imitating the speech, the mannerisms, and the conduct of the character portrayed. So the mask, they were James Bond, and on stage, they acted like James Bond. They were not James Bond. It was all an act. I remember being at a Christian meeting one day when the guy who was leading, a well-known Christian leader, he said, I want you to go like this. So we all looked at him. It was a church full of pastors and leaders. He said, I want you to go like this. So we all looked, what for? He said, just do it. So we all went. And he said, right, the masks are off. Now be yourself. And then he went into some teaching where we felt it. If you're wearing a mask, it isn't a good idea because you're giving the wrong impression, but you're hurting. The more you make believe, the more you hurt. You need to understand that. Because when somebody has come up to you and said, how are you? He has an opportunity to receive prayer. You could say immediately, listen, I am depressed. Please pray for me. And there's an opportunity for the kingdom of God to break into your life. But no, we got ourselves. I'm fine. I'm fine. Sometimes the way we say I'm fine, people know we're not. People are funny, aren't they? Now, in reality, criticizing and judging others is a sin that most of us struggle with, at least occasionally. I don't think any of us never criticizes or is never judgmental. We all have those times where we slip up badly. So we need to be open to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. And Jesus addresses the attitude we ought to have before we judge. And basically he's saying to us, when he speaks about taking the log out of your own eye, he's saying, check yourself out. Are you in a position where you can righteously judge somebody else? Or are you a total freak with a critical spirit and you just letting the kingdom of darkness flow through your life? And so the type of judgment Jesus is speaking about in this passage is the condemning, hypocritical, and fault-finding. It's a criticism of others with no equal self-criticism or self-correction of our own shortcomings, our faults, and our sins. So yes, we have a right to judge, but before we judge, make sure that you're right on the inside. Now, let's say, as a preacher, I never open my Bible to read it. Okay? And then you and I are talking, and you slip up and say, you know, wow, this has been a tough week. I haven't even opened my Bible. And I turn around and say, you know you should be reading your Bible. It should be something you must not neglect. What am I at that moment? I am the biggest hypocrite on the planet because I'm judging you when I'm not measuring up to it either. So we have to be very careful when we open our mouth and figure out what's coming out of it. And so the people that Jesus is talking about is those who are self-righteous. They're spiritually blind, they're self-deceived, and they lack Christ-like love. If you have to criticize somebody, you'll know if it's righteous because it's going to hurt you on the inside. You're going to know as you're doing it that this is painful. But sometimes you have to do that. John Maxwell says this. He says, your attitude determines your altitude. If you have a bad attitude, you will always mess around with the What's those silly birds that go goggle, goggle, goo, 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 goo? Turkey. I knew it was some bird like that, right. If you have a bad attitude, you be one of the turkeys. Gobble, 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 gobble. Yeah, that. And if you're not a turkey and you have a good attitude, your altitude is you flying with the eagles. And the Bible says those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, etc., etc., and you'll take off like eagles. Here's a thought that I want you to think about. Isn't it funny how often we judge others by their actions and we judge ourselves by our intentions? That's a rough one, isn't it? Of course I intend to be good one day. But in the meantime, I can, you know, criticize you. Well, to build the community of the kingdom, Jesus asks the disciples to avoid a judgmental attitude, to avoid prejudgment or prejudice, to refrain from stereotyping others because doing so would limit their possibilities for fulfillment. And the truth is that judgmentalism is just an ego trip. People who are super critical, hypercritical, and judgmental, they're just on an ego trip. They think that their tackies don't stink. And usually we judge others to make ourselves feel better. You know, if you're feeling low, pull the other guys down with you so you can all grovel. The problem is that when we are judgmental, people draw away from us. How many friends have you got? I mean real friends. Real, real friends. That if you're in trouble, they're there. So, okay, why we ought not to judge? Quickly look at this. There are a number of reasons for withholding our judgments, but I'm only going to mention three now. First, we only know in part. We never fully understand all the issues or motives behind another person's actions. When somebody does something, we don't understand why they've done it in that way. And the only way is to try and find out from them, you know, why are you doing this? What's going on in your life? What are you thinking? So we can't judge them and say they have no brain. We have to find out what's going on in the background, emotionally, and all the rest of it. Secondly, we're incapable of being completely impartial because we have unconscious emotions that affect our judgments, causing us to critique others based on feelings rather than truth. One of the hardest things when you're in leadership is this whole thing of judging. Because you can't judge out of an emotional thing. And so it has to be based on truth. And you need to find out the truth. And third, only God in his holiness and understanding is competent to judge another. So we need to look at this whole thing of judgmentalism and all the rest of it in the light of reaching out to fellow believers, because we see people doing stuff that is wrong. But instead of criticizing, judging, and just pushing them aside as being meaningless and hopeless and we try to get them restored. And so refusing to be judgmental does not mean that we refuse to help. I know there are some people who are beyond help, but that is a judgmental judgment. With God, everything is possible. And so helping your brother or sister at his or her point of need can mean telling them the truth in love. Sometimes you have to tell people the truth. They're not going to like it. They're seriously not going to like it. They're going to be very cheesed off. And they might just get up and storm out of the meeting you have, even if you paid for the coffee at wherever. They'll just get up and walk away. Because they're not willing to face the issues. But if you can get to the point where you can speak the truth in love, because you've discerned the problem, you can become part of the solution. Never go into a judgmental situation, a critical situation, without wanting to be the answer. Okay? Because our job is to pull people up, not push them down. Galatians 6:1. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. And this is making the right judgment about assisting another believer who needs help. And so we need to develop a positive attitude towards others. It's very important. And we have to deal with our negative thinking. And so Philippians 4:8 says this, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things." Oh, thank you. If the only thing that's in our brain is garbage, then that's the only thing that's going to come out. But if we allow God to reprogram our thinking, if we start to think on what is good, what is pure, what is holy, then what is going to come out is going to be different. Junk in, junk out. The Word of God in, the Word of God out. And so I want to appeal to you that we need to align our lives with the Holy Spirit, because He will accomplish everything and anything that He wants to do in our lives if we do that, if we don't resist Him. And so I'm asking you to do this, that we make a commitment to ourselves and to the Lord that we will allow the Holy Spirit to change us. If you're sitting here today and you've just realized, ooh, you're a little bit of a critical person, allow God to change that. I mean, none of us really wants to be fault finders, critical and negative. Is anybody here who wants to be a fault finder, critical and negative? No. And if you find yourself tending to be that way, allow God to change you. I know that most of us want to be known as positive people with a positive outlook and a Christ-like nature. Isn't that true? Even I would like that. Even I would like that. And God's not finished with me yet, so hopefully before I die, He will have got somewhere. I want to share an illustration in ending with you. You remember Billy Graham, the evangelist? I think he died last year. It could have been the year before. One day, Billy and his wife, Ruth, were driving through a long stretch of road construction. They had numerous slowdowns, detours, and stops along the way. Finally, they reached the end of all that difficulty, and a smooth road stretched out before them. A road sign caught Ruth's attention. "End of construction. Thanks for your patience." And she turned to Billy and she said, "Those words will be good for my gravestone one day. End of construction. Thanks for your patience." God is at work in us. And He's building us into His people. And while that happens, we need to have great patience with one another. We need to make room for each other. None of us is perfect, and so we have to put up with imperfection. But we all will come to that point of reaching the end of construction. Thanks for your patience. Because at some time, our lives will draw to an end. And if we've had brothers and sisters who have been patient with us, we go out happy, not condemned. Let's stand. We're going to sing a song. And after the song, if you need prayer for anything, maybe somebody else has messed with your life, they've judged you, and you feel condemned, useless, meaningless, they've made you so depressed that you find it difficult to be alive. Come for prayer. Let God set you free. Don't let the negativity of others destroy what God has for you. And while we're singing the song, will the prayer team come out and be ready to pray for those? And so during the singing of the song, if you need prayer, come out. Okay?